Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Any commercial advertising you may hear in this program is of the sole discretion and benefit of the host of this program you are listening to. Revolution Radio does not endorse any commercial products, nor does it accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener-supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at higher risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Well, this is Jim Fetzer, your host on The Raw Deal, right here on Revolution Radio Live, this 24th day of April, 2024, joined today by Bill Bonatotti, who's had a lot of hands-on experience dealing with legal issues in the courts in Connecticut, of all places, known as the unconstitutional state, a real den of inequity and corruption, if ever there were one. I begin with a few stories in the news before Bill and I turn to continue our series on the Few Good Men, about the efforts that I and James Tracy and others have made to expose the truth about Sandy Hook. Well, we've been massively affected by the combination of the abuse of the law with censorship on virtually every angle. And as I pull up the news stories for today, let me just say it's fascinating what Bill has to contribute to all of the above, because it's stunning the extent to which the law has been abused. Meanwhile, as I find the right bill, let's go right into it. I'll come back to the news stories. We have so much to discuss here today. I began with, you know, we talked about The Truth versus Alex Jones, which, of course, is quite something in terms of giving a slanted presentation of what's going on, totally biased. We found there are lots of indications internal to the documentary itself they didn't realize slipped by that constitute proof that, in fact, it was a scam, especially, for example, this, the photograph taken by Newtown photojournalist Shannon Hicks, where you see loads of parents there just casually looking on, a photograph that has led me to describe this as lounging at the massacre because the parents are so unconcerned. This is in contrast to, of course, the photograph that was sent worldwide, seeming to show a policewoman escorting a string of kids to safety that everyone has taken to be iconic. Here's Shannon actually acknowledging having taken both of those photographs. You can see here the changes that were made, where they initially began with a little girl in a pink sweater and a short skirt at the head of the line, and then replaced her with a little boy in a long sleeve sweater and blue jeans from a more photographic image. Bill, your thoughts about this all by itself? And when you zoom in between boy number one and boy number two in the earlier photograph, we have three women just sitting there looking on. I mean, how nonchalant can you get, Bill? Your thoughts?
Well, Jim, I echo, obviously, this in and of itself is a game changer and proves there was no emergency. But people have to understand, when there's a crime happening, of course, the crime tape is up. No one's allowed inside. The whole campus would have been secured by the police, just like you saw on TV in Uvalde, which turned out to be a false flag itself. But at least you have you'd have cops protecting anyone from going in. How did the photographer get inside the crime scene to shoot the shot? That's another thing, because it's not. It's a FEMA drill. And so the parents are hanging out. How did they get in there? Not to mention, hey, there's someone in the woods that they're going to be looking for later that supposedly, you know, may be one of the assailants. And let's all hang out in the middle of a parking lot. Well, like, you know, Jim, when you were a kid going to the, the county fair or something, you ever play the duck shooting game? You know, you're standing there, you're trying to pluck off the ducks that are coming one after the other to win a toy for your girlfriend. Like, sure, you're going to walk a bunch of children out. Right there, right in open parking lot, where someone who had an assault rifle could just mow them down. I mean, the whole thing is completely preposterous. Obviously, the parents are there. And this is one thing after another we see that it's definitely the drill. And yet they're using this in a trauma-based mind control, like ideological subversion Yuri Buzanov talked about, the constantly destabilized, demoralized. This is just one of many things that... Obviously, we got the whole COVID pandemic. There's so much that's happening to try and move us to their new world order. This is all part of it. People might say, well, gee, I've heard about Sandy Hook many times. No, it's so critical because this is the drop-off point, which attacks, well, the Smith Modernization Act. Should I stop, Jim, and let you go on? Because you know me, I could keep going. So what do you think?
Keep going, Bill. Don't stop. Right. I love it.
So people don't realize the Smith Act of 1948 was passed to prevent our government from using the same propaganda they were putting out over the airways overseas here on a domestic population. Now, I'm not saying that worked, because we've been lied about every war we've been into. So, but at least that was on the books. Now, in 2012, Obama signs the Smith Modernization Act. Sounds like they made it better, right? No, that allows the government to pay media to propagandize us with the same kind of propaganda they would use overseas. In other words, anything they want, if it's somehow in the national interest, with their security, whatever. So this was passed, signed by Obama, several months before Sandy Hook. This has all been planned. Jim knows, and he's going to get into Eric Holder going to Sandy Hook, setting up the whole thing long before 2006. So what we have here is Eric Holder talking, I believe it was 97, wasn't Jim, when Eric Holder talked before the DNC Women's Convention about the brainwashing?
95, Bill. 95, okay.
We needed to change the way young people start about carrying guns, the way we've changed the way about smoking. It's not cool. And we need to brainwash them, not just every Monday, but every day of the week. I think that's important to recognize. There's one more factor I'll touch on. Barry Saratoro, the reporter using the pseudonym Barry Saratoro, who covers the sloppy sniper, the actor, obviously, carrying his AR-15 assault rifle upside down by the magazine, pointing backwards, where at one point I took a screenshot of the video. It's like direct line of sight on a woman behind him. That man would have been, if it was a real event, he'd be a primary suspect. He would have been apprehended immediately and disarmed. If he were lucky, he might have been sniped. Anyway, but Barry talks about the whole point of this is this trauma, traumatization, re-traumatization. We have, 30% of adults on medications, psychiatric medications. And now any child that gets on these drugs, like for ADHD or anything like that, supposedly, if you notice, all these I shouldn't say all, that's a broad brush. Many of these mass shooters are young men who supposedly are on medication. So the whole plan is to develop this whole psyop that once your kids have been on meds, and they're making sure they are with the mask and the COVID and the, you know, the trauma they're experiencing, they will never be able to get a gun license. That's the whole idea. They're passing gun restricting laws here in Connecticut. The AR-15, which is, by the way, we need to talk about, that's a semi-automatic weapon. That is not an assault rifle. There is no legal automatic weapon sold in this country since 1986. Jim knows that, of course, being a U.S. Marine Corps commanding officer of weapons, ballistics, explosives. And so they're lying to us from the very essence of what is assault weapon and what it isn't, but yet they limited the magazine size here in Connecticut from 30 to 10. Every gun sold from the six shooter that you see in the Western is a semi-automatic weapon. Like you can buy a shotgun, that's not, but pistols are semi-automatic. And the fact of the matter is that the gun crimes in this country, Pew Report 2021, I'll finish this up, Jim, and
take your time.
48, Bill. Go ahead.
No, yeah. You're good. You're good. Take all the time in the world.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks. 48,880 violent gun deaths. Of that, 54% are suicides. Let me tell you, the AR-15 is not the gun of choice for suicide. There may be someone who uses it occasionally, but it's always, almost always, a semi-automatic pistol, right? Now, so that's, best of my recollection, between 25,000 and 26,000 of the deaths are suicides. That's where we need to be focusing. Why are these kids committing suicide? Well, maybe it's because, I don't know, they don't have a future like their parents did, thanks to the outsourcing and the New World Order plan to shift the jobs overseas, you know, the trade agreements. We get back to how they destroyed this country based on the Rockefeller Foundation, the Bilderberg, the whole bankster crimes against humanity. But so now you have 43% of violent crimes. Of those, 0.21% are alleged domestic mass casualty events, or 103. And they're not all legit. I haven't broken them all down. Jim, I focus on Sandy Hook. I have other things I'm working on, but Jim certainly knows a lot more about the other false flags that Robert David Steele talked about. Robert David Steele, God bless him, rest his soul, said, if there's four or more deaths, not including the shooter, it's almost always contrived. It could be a hybrid event where the government's involved. And yes, they do. John Perkins, Confessions of an Economic Hitman, 1, 2, and 3, volume 2, 100 pages, how it was done domestically. So yes, they do it domestically. Now, so if you take 103, who knows what percentage of those are actually legit and what are total false flags, as Robert David Steele, Jim cites, regarding Sandy Hook, where it's crisis actor event, a training event. So think about that. Now, so that leaves the vast majority, 43%, all but a small percentage, are other type of violent crimes, let's say in the hood or drug deals or God knows what. 3% are police officers were involved in shootings. So that's between 1,500 and 1,600. Now, think about this, ladies and gentlemen. You think the criminals give a rat's ass what gun laws are passed? Are they buying legal guns or are they buying hot guns? They're buying hot guns. They don't want guns that can be traced or tracked. In addition, if they're going to try and get a something like an automatic, they want a fully automatic weapon. They don't want to be outgunned if they're in a gang war with a semi. Right. So they are not this enforcing gun laws on the semi-automatic AR-15, which, by the way, uses the same bullet cartridge as many semi-automatic rifles. It doesn't shoot any faster. The idea that it can reel off 100 shots in a minute is a complete fraud. That is a fraud. We heard that from some of the Sandy Hook, one of the Sandy Hook parents. I recall seeing that where she went on air and we laughed about it. Jim and I were listening. It may even be in this video that Jim's bringing attention to, which, by the way, I want to cite. I misspoke. It is an HBO rag, Truth vs. Alex Jones propaganda piece. I, a couple times last show, said Netflix. I don't watch either of them, so that was my error. I just want to correct that.
Sure. It was produced by Amos Pictures, which actually came here to my home in Wisconsin and interviewed me. And I laid out probably 100 lines of proof that it was a fraud. I gave them all the evidence. I've documented a lot of what I've given them. And I thought they were going to do a balanced, objective presentation of the evidence as to what had actually happened. And they I think now, Bill, in retrospect, because I reached out to both James Tracy and Wolfgang Halberg based upon their interview with me to say they appeared to me to be sincere and that I felt they were going to do a balanced job, I think that was the hook to entice Wolfgang to do an interview with them, where then they left my interview on the cutting room floor. So, you know, Amos Pictures manufactured evidence. They used the method of selection and elimination, selecting the evidence that supported a predetermined point of view and eliminating the rest. And most of what you have in this film is just parents. And these parents, once you understand what's going on, is actually a FEMA drill, or actually actors feigning to have been part of a crisis, hence they're known as crisis actors, pretending to have lost children at Sandy Hook, many of whom, by the way, are not even married. I mean, it's just ridiculous, Bill, the extent to which this fraud had been perpetrated and the idea that it's going on to this day. We're talking about a dozen years later, and it's still a hot topic, in part, I think, because lawsuits I had launched, I even feel that they may have gone to all the trouble to make this film to offset any potential future threats from me or Wolfgang. James Tracy has very much receded into the background for a host of practical reasons, that they would want to make a preemptive strike to convince the public that Sandy Hook was real, when the overwhelming evidence, if you have access to it, where they've gone after me in order to suppress the book Nobody Died at Sandy Hook, which is a compendium of over 440 pages of proof that it was a FEMA drill presented as mass murder. In order to suppress that, they undertook an elaborate legal process. They actually took the book, but I've now released it in a third redacted edition, which everyone can download for free. You can download it on my Twitter at Jim Fetzer. You can download it on my blog at jameshfetzer.org. You can even download it from State of the Nation, which republished my blog and did an excellent job of it. Bill, continue. Your thoughts.
Well, there's so much to unpack here. I want to tie it into, people are struggling just to pay the rent and eat. And this is all part of "You'll Own Nothing, Have No Privacy, and Be Happy," announced by Klaus Schwab of the World Economic Forum. This is a communist manifesto, and they've had it in the works and planned for a very long time. Prince Charles also talked about if they have to bring upon a militarization to get it accomplished. That's why they're trying to take the guns rights away. And that's why this misinformation, disinformation, malinformation push around the globe, where they want to limit us communicating with one another and outing what's really going on. So this is a real threat to our civil rights all the way around. Again, First Amendment freedom of speech, Second Amendment right to bear arms, Fourth Amendment protection from illegal search and seizure, and you have Fourth Amendment rights of privacy. You have Fifth and Sixth Amendment rights of due process in criminal, which I'm going to touch on again in a moment, and Seventh Amendment rights of due process in civil, which we'll talk about regarding Jim and my own experiences. Now, let's talk about the National Defense Authorization Act. The Smith-Mundt Modernization Act was written into the National Defense Authorization Act 2013. That's the whole Obama era called the move. And what that does is it takes away your right to due process. If you're arrested in this country as an alleged domestic terrorist, or even to potentially cause domestic terrorism, you go to jail without a trial, and that's habeas corpus gets stripped away your rights pursuant to Magna Carta, 1215 AD, the common law that our laws are built on from England. So right now, our president has more power than the King of England than after the passing of the Magna Carta, that was to protect the rights of citizens. We're regressed huge dramatically with this whole thing. Now, forward, go ahead, Jim.
No, I just wanted to intervene. You were talking about the weapon itself. It turns out the one that they used as a prop at Sandy Hook had a corroded barrel. That means this is an old weapon they were going after the guns. Thus, you have the Sandy Hook Commission, and the whole idea was to justify a commission to recommend banning guns. In this case, they can fire more than 10 rounds without reloading. Now, the AR-15, which I fired myself, is a wonderful weapon. It's lightweight. It's very accurate, high velocity, small round, 2.23, but with terrific impact. It's just the ideal all-purpose weapon. And especially, I think, when a tyrannical government is seeking to take over the nation, they do not want an army of citizen soldiers armed with weapons this good and this versatile to be able to fight back or even overthrow the government itself. Bill, I have no doubt that's what this is all about.
Absolutely. Like I said, they passed the new gun laws this past September here in Connecticut, that the largest magazine you can buy for that AR-15 is 10 bullets. Now, it's interesting because the Model 20 Remington Arms, which is a semi-automatic weapon I built in the 1920s, or it's Model 8, the Model 8 built in the 1920s, it has up to a 15-bullet magazine. Not in Connecticut, though. I guess if you bought a used one, you'd have to stick with a 5 or 10-bullet mag now. And that's, of course, obviously, as you point out very adeptly, to limit the firepower of a militia to stop a tyrannical government. And anywhere in the world that guns have been taken away from people, that's what's happened. So it is important. It's vitally important. I think it's important to recognize, too, to give people a little hope that some of the things we can do on the local level from the grassroots I've done, and it's got me arrested, but if people get together and do it, kind of like mini January 6th in the local courthouses, let me tell you, if you flood that court with misdemeanors, no one's going to trial, and especially local courts on first offense. And it's not like they're going to kick in this crazy multiplier they kicked in, which I have to study on the federal level, because your local courthouse, that's not going to happen. I think we need to start a rise up from the base to flood the courthouses with protesters, local courthouses, local police departments, let them arrest us over and over again. I've been arrested 4 times to get everyone dropped. And that's how we clog the system up. And then regarding evictions, I eventually lost to the largest hotel chain in the world. It took them 10 months to get me out, and I want to talk in the future about that, because evictions are a huge problem now. So I just want to touch on a couple of things, Jim, and that we can talk about in the future, because it's so overwhelming what's happening now, that I think it's important to give people hope on the grassroots level, things that we can try and do, something to rise up from the bottom that doesn't require us to, get in a firing battle with our government. Go ahead.
Well, we've already begun with two lines of proof. One, the iconic photograph taken by Shannon Hicks that appeared in every newspaper around the world was preceded by an earlier photograph where you can see parents present. They're nonchalant. They're unconcerned. They're not grabbing their kids to get out of Dodge. I mean, the whole situation is simply absurd just based on realizing there was that earlier photograph and the fact that all the parents are so unconcerned, no anxiety, no urgency, totally relaxed, because they're just photographing a series of kids that they're going to present as being real evacuation when it's not. A second line that means something's wrong with a weapon because it has this corroded barrel. That means this is an old Vietnam-era weapon. And, of course, we know when you put it together, the whole idea was to go after the guns, in particular to the size of magazines that they were successful in passing in Connecticut. But here's a third line of proof, Bill. The way in which Adam Lanza is alleged to have entered the school by shooting out his plate glass window at the front, look at the size of that hole. Now, he's supposed to be 6 feet tall, 112 pounds, carrying some 30 pounds of, weapons, so hundreds of rounds of ammunition. Look at that hole, Bill. That hole, I'd say, looks like it might be 4 feet high. How is he going to get in there? And with all that shattered glass, indeed, here's inside. It's very obvious from this photograph. No one, Not a single person came in through that hole. And yet, would you believe Wolfgang Helbig has discovered affidavits from some 14 Connecticut state police who claim they entered through this hole where the Three Stooges would have done better because Joe would have come in and gone around and opened the door for Curly and Moe. I mean, this is ridiculous. Notice the furniture isn't out of place. It's exactly where it was. There's some glass on top of it. You can even see where the slug, and this appears to have been done with a shotgun slug, entered the back of the magazine rack. I mean, Bill, this is insulting, insultingly bad.
Well, if you look at that last shot, Jim, go back one briefly. You'll see a magazine rack or a booklet rack. See that?
Yeah.
Perpendicular to the window. They obviously moved that out of the way before they shot the window out because they didn't want to damage it, Jim.
Well, so, well, they got the slug. This is the back of the magazine rack, Bill, that where the slug actually entered.
Okay.
But, I mean, it's just embarrassingly bad. I mean, there are three lines of proof, each of which is conclusive. I think you are right, though, that they did turn the magazine rack, that it would have been flat instead of perpendicular. That's your suggestion, right?
Well, yeah, if you shot it, it certainly would be. Imagine that perfectly, you know, angled, you know, after they shot it, let's set it up just so that, for the scene. But yeah, so just touching back on, regarding the NDAA, a militia that's rising or people planning to fight back would be considered domestic terrorists. That's why they got the NDAA written the way they did now. So, and it's all spawning off this, jumping off the cliff here, we're dropping off the cliff with Sandy Hook. It's all spinning off that. So it's important to talk about this and help people realize what they're stealing our rights every way they possibly can, because it's obviously about this New World Order communist manifesto for this country.
Yes. Go ahead, John. Yes. Well, we're about to hit a break, but another of the images that slipped through is this one of the school where you can see the windows of Classroom 10. Continuing with Bill right after this break. And by-
Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Hey, everyone. It's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
join Revolution Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Now, for those who are well-versed in the story of Sandy Hook and the script and how it was put together, much of what we're talking about is review. They're already familiar, but, Bill, there are a lot of people out there who still haven't put all the pieces together. And I think a slow-paced review of crucial evidence, such as we're doing here, can be highly beneficial for them to finally see how the pieces fit together. Thus, here, from the film, The Truth versus Alex Jones, it slipped by. You can see there's crime scene already, tape already up, and the windows here in Classroom 10, four windows in a row, are undamaged. Now, that's absolutely crucial. Here you see another photograph where the crime scene tape is very obvious and the windows are undamaged. And what's striking is that after the event, they would be shown blown out, in particular the second of the four. So here you have the undamaged. Here you have the second of the four all blown out. And here, this was earlier. You see some of the perps looking at the window frame trying to decide what they were going to do about it. And here's the result of their efforts. They drilled holes, Bill. They drilled holes in the aluminum frame that are supposed to simulate bullet strikes. And they put these pink rods in, and you can see they're all exactly 90 degrees to the window pane, and they're all perfectly parallel, which anyone remotely familiar with firearms would recognize as an absurdity. There's no possible way. So here again, you know, even with just the drilled holes, you can see it's fake. But you go back, and when you realize that they would present the windows as shot out, but they're not shot out yet, when the crime scene vehicle is already on the scene and tape is up for a crime ostensibly already done, but they haven't finished fabricating the evidence, Bill. This, in my opinion, is a devastating photograph, which Brian Davidson has timed out as being the evening of the event on the 14th of December, 2012. Your thoughts?
Yeah, it's critical evidence. Jim has all the evidence in his books, and Mary Maxwell and Robert David Steele, and the evidence is there. The problem is getting the court to hear it. The problem Jim had in civil was the adverse evidence was set aside. And the judge went on presupposition that Sandy Hook happened, but of course the judge is just a paid actor for the state. So that's what you could, unfortunately, this is what happens. So even though all this evidence that Jim had tried to present to the court to make his case regarding Noah Pazzo's death certificate, which, by the way, even the death certificate Jim received versus the one attached to the lawsuit, that is adverse. I mean, the idea. The judge set everything aside, and this is the problem. So what we're trying to do, as Jim informed me earlier, is try through Twitter to get a body of people to retweet the tweets that Jim put up challenging Alex Jones and Elon to a debate, with Elon hosting it. So go ahead, Jim.
Bill, you're making very important points here. And so here's what, like a fourth line of proof, a fourth line of proof already. And each one of these is sufficient. Each one of these establishes the event was fraudulent. Then we had this attorney, Mark Blankson, for Neil and Scarlett Lewis. Neil Lewis has claimed that he held his son Jesse in his arms with a bullet through his head. But it's nonsense. I mean, it's not even consistent with the rest of the script, because you had Wayne Carver, the medical examiner, during his press conference the following day, about which James Tracy wrote a brilliant critique, for which he would eventually be fired from his tenured position as a professor of media and communication at Florida Atlantic. I mean, in just a shameful exercise, tremendous pressure put on the school to fire him, even though this was something he did on his blog. It was in one of his, by the way, courses he taught for the university, was on conspiracy and the media, on conspiracy and the media. So it's really fascinating what happened here. But this Mark Blankson asserted that Alex Jones, under the First Amendment, was not entitled to, he said, lie about Sandy Hook. He said under the First Amendment that was a violation. This turns out to be completely absurd. Courts have even ruled that the media are entitled to lie. Fox News actually sought to defend itself on the ground that it had the legal right to lie, and the law upheld them. But the fact is that Alex Jones sincerely believed what he was reporting at the time when he said the whole thing was fake, that it wasn't real. He had a reporter on the scene who'd been having conversation with local residents. They were saying to him they didn't understand why there were any students there, because the school had long been closed. In order to lie, you have to be saying something that's false, that you know to be false, but you go ahead and say anyway with the intent to mislead your audience. Well, not only did he believe what he was saying and not know it was false, it isn't false, it was true. So the whole thing was absolutely rigged. And the idea of taking this guy, Neil Heslin, is a rather a Neanderthal, I mean a very strange guy, with his phony story. The way he says it, Bill, you almost think he believes it.
Well, he's a good actor, obviously, or at least he's portraying a good actor. Well, I want to touch on that 2003 appellate case in Florida. The FCC has a guideline where reporters are not supposed to be untruthful. However, the court recognized there it doesn't, if they are, it doesn't rise to any offense of breaking the law in any way being illegal. And that was an unfortunate case for the employees of Fox, who had dinner report on BHT and Milk, a four-part series, best of my recollection. Monsanto got a wind of it. I don't know if any of it got aired. And then the two reporters got fired. The woman prevailed in the lower court. I can't remember the judgment, 450-odd thousand. But Fox appealed it, and this was the final decision. No one's taken it further. The other thing is the Smith Modernization Act of 2012. The government can pay media to lie to us. Again, if their suggests or their plan is, or whatever you want to call it, their propaganda is that they're somehow going to prevent domestic terrorism by lying to us. Quite the opposite. They are the international domestic terrorists. This is not a government of by and for the people. It's a government run by central bankers out of the City of London. And they overtook this government, First and Second Bank of America, the Federal Reserve Act. They own the media. They own Hollywood. They own the politicians. So when people get wrapped up in nationalism, just remember that what you've been brought up to believe is untrue. It may have been more true in the past, certainly not now. We see it all the time. But so go ahead, Jim. You want to get back?
Well, I just want to say, I mean, just Neil Heslin all by himself contradicting Wayne Carver, the medical examiner, who said the parents weren't allowed to come into contact with the children, that they were identified using photographs, which was highly appropriate because most of them only existed in the form of photographs. I'll give you some illustration. In fact, Mona Alexis Presley, in her research on Sandy Hook, as a colleague of mine, has established some of the parents even use photographs of themselves as children to be their deceased child at Sandy Hook. Bill, how brazen is that?
Yeah, that was pretty interesting. I saw that, and it was so convoluted. you have to remember is most people haven't had the time or don't have the bandwidth. Plus the propaganda of this, it's all based on emotion that tugs on people's heartstrings. But I ask people to recall, you know, there were no babies taken out of incubators by Iraqi soldiers thrown on the floor in Kuwait.
For example,
that woman was the ambassador to Kuwait's daughter.
Yes.
She was acting. Yet she cried. She was a real tearjerker in front of Congress. Very convincing. And that's what we're seeing here. So some people have a very difficult time separating truth from reality because they aren't given the facts. And the Alex Jones case really throws this whole psyop into three dimensions, which we can talk about, which makes it even more difficult for people to distill what the truth is.
Go ahead.
It is an absolute. People are self-censoring all the time now. They're afraid to talk about Sandy Hook, especially at the. Now, let's keep in mind, when there's been no one, Lieutenant Paul Vance threatened everybody, and we have the video. It's a minute and 30-odd seconds, but where he went before the mic, and he said, he talked about certain people in the media who were claiming to be police officers who weren't. They may have very well been police officers, for all we know, in Newtown or with the state that just want to let people know no one really died. Who knows? I don't know. But and that the only truth was coming from his microphone, and anyone saying anything other than that in social media, he talked to federal law enforcement authorities, could be charged with federal crimes and also state crimes. Well, that is a bald-faced lie, okay? That's meant to intimidate people into silence in social media. There is no such law on the books on the state or federal level for restricting your freedom of speech. In fact, quite the opposite. You're entitled to your opinion when it's of things of national concern in the public domain. And clearly, everybody's entitled to their opinion, like Jim, like Wolfgang, like me, like anyone, Alex Jones. There's no law or even civil litigation that has ever gone forward on that. That's how you know the Alex Jones thing is a total hoax. Because unlike Jim, who got totally railroaded in court proceedings where all the evidence was set aside, and by the way, people may not understand, summary judgment. What happens in summary judgment, the judge decides there's no what's called adverse evidence. Well, when you got a corrupt judge, they can clearly say that. It doesn't mean it's true. What happens then is the jury never hears the case based on the merits, which is the right to due process according to the Seventh Amendment. If there's over a $20 dispute, it's all common law and there's adverse evidence. So what the judge, crooked judge, does is say, oh, no adverse evidence. Sandy Hook happened. This isn't real. And it's not going to be considered by the court. That's how Jim got railroaded. And Appellus did the same to him, which is why it's so important to bring out the truth here and hopefully bring forward some civil action in the future to address this issue, which is where it needs to be. We've had thoughts about motion to open on the prior judgments and motions to recuse judges. But if we get a civil action to go forward and prevail there, then the other two will take care of themselves, obviously. The truth is brought out in the civil action, and there's any judgment in Jim's favor, then the other one, fraud vitiates everything. That's a law based on U.S. versus Throckmorton, a federal case law. And so fraud vitiates everything. So that judgment against Jim of over $1 million would immediately be dismissed and wouldn't need to write a motion to recuse any prior judge or try and get that heard in that level. So there's a plan to go forward here, ladies and gentlemen. It's very important to raise awareness in social media. Let me just finish by saying they've got you pinned in a corner, especially with that false summary judgment. And they did this with Wolfgang with the rag, whatever you want to call it, HBO garbage. I doubt very much, although I think it's important to try to get the word out, that there's no risk, benefit, or reward for Alex Jones to debate Jim. Quite the opposite. Alex Jones sold out. And one of the first things Wolfgang said to me when I talked to him three times by phone was, Alex Jones backstabbed us. And yes, he did. Why he did it, whether he was blackmailed or bribed, we don't know. But he did. But he also did this to Milton William Cooper, you know, before Milton William Cooper died. And And that's a whole nother story, who was another that really upsets me. I want to say all these men we're talking about, Milton William Cooper, James H. Fetzer, and Wolfgang Halbig, are military veterans. And they took an oath to serve this country. It's an abomination to God and to our Constitution that these men have been blackballed and railroaded and disparaged. It's actually treasonous under color of law. And people, I don't know if we're going to get people held accountable. But kind of like 9/11, we're never going to hear the whole truth. We're going to hear truths through social media, Dr. Judy Wood, you know, John Lear affidavit, many others, Major General Stubblebine, and I want to say Alan Sobrowski, God bless him, his soul. So that may be the best we get for a while, but this is the goal to try and get. Now, Jim, I don't know if you want to, when you're ready to discuss how you want to try and we need to raise some money.
Well, I want to
documentary.
Bill, let's get to that by and by, because, you know, there are a lot of stages going forth. Here's a key player, Lenny Posner, or a party claiming to be Lenny Posner, is supposed to be the father of Noah Posner. Here's a photograph. These were both, of course, from the video itself. Of little Noah was supposed to be the youngest member of the class. But look at this. Here's a photograph that appeared in the media. And I tell you, these are not the same person. In other words, you got the father and the little boy. And this father, who's supposed to be Lenny Posner, and this guy, who's supposed to be Lenny Posner, I assert, are not the same person. Not only that, but Kelly Watt, my colleague, who in fact, to whom Lenny Posner, I think this guy here, with whom she had 100 hours of conversation where she told him she didn't believe a word he said, she didn't believe he had a son, didn't believe his son died, he posted a death certificate in response on his Google Plus page, which she downloaded and then shared with me. It was an incomplete death certificate. It had no file number. It had no town certification, no state certification. And I was sued because in the book, I had three times asserted it was fake. I'm now just explaining what I was sued over because the court has enjoined me from asserting it to be the case. I redacted the book to take out those sentences. In any case, what Kelly noticed was that Noah Posner's older half-brother, Michael Vabner, and Noah Posner seemed to bear similar striking features. So Sick of Us went to work on the hypothesis that Noah was actually a fabrication made out of photographs of Michael Vabner as a child. They had the same eyes, the same eyebrows, the same nose, the same ears. I mean, it's just stunning. So I asked my colleague, Larry Rivera, who'd done superpositions in the relationship to research on JFK, whether he could ascertain whether these are one and the same person. And here's what he created. Bill, here's a GIF where you can see Noah turning into Michael Vabner, or to understand what's happened here, how Michael Vabner was Noah Posner as a child. I mean, this is stunning stuff.
Yeah, well, you got the photo evidence. Clearly, when the eyes line up identical and all the other major points do, that's pretty clear and convincing evidence. Did we mention the FBI crime table yet, Jim? I forgot. Did you mention?
No, it's way down the line here. But there's another conclusive proof. You know, the audience needs to understand each of these lines of proof that Bill and I are elaborating here is sufficient to show the whole damn thing was a hoax. So it's not that we got little pieces of circumstantial evidence. We have evidence that in and of itself shows this was a fraud, that it wasn't a mass murder, that confirming it was a FEMA drill, and we even have the FEMA manual. I mean, we'll get around to it. I mean, Bill, how much evidence could you have that something is fake?
Well, you know, this is so important because this is the most investigated domestic, alleged domestic mass casualty event between you, Wolfgang, the FOIA hearings, Robert David Steele, letters to POTUS, and Mary Maxwell, and I always like the kudos to Allison Sunny Maynard, her work in the Real Colorado, examining all the FOIA obstructions and fraud and subpoenas violated and evidence she brought forward in that. This is overwhelming. There's so much stacked up. This is why they won't allow any evidence to be brought forward in court. That's why they go to summary judgment. This has been orchestrated by our government for all the reasons we've described prior. At the time, the puppets in charge was Obama and Holder. The brand name, they're all puppets. Let's put it that way, ever since JFK, in my opinion. So that's why they took them out. Anyway, here we are.
Well, let me just add, and Michael Vabner's alive and well, he's doing stand-up comedy in Cambridge, Massachusetts. Here it is, the Comedy Studio. Summer at Vera's, Thursday, July 15th, 8 p.m., the lineup. Emma Marposine Duffy, Kathy Lynch, Michael Vabner, and more at the Comedy Studio. Bill, give us a break. This is insulting. This is a comedy. This is a farce. And
that's why I'm sorry. Did you want to say something?
No, you go ahead before I turn to another of the alleged decedents.
Right. That's why the Alice Jones case went to summary judgment. And the tool they used there was alleging that Alice Jones didn't comply with nonspecific financials. Well, let me talk about that real quick. First of all, how much money Alice Jones has is completely irrelevant to plaintiff. Let's drop a hypothetical scenario and say this actually happened, just for a thought experiment. When a plaintiff has to prove damage and defamation, how much money Alice has is important to them, of course, because they want to know he has pockets. They already have a belief system how much money he has. But that is not relevant to them making their case and proving slander, damage, and defamation. It's completely irrelevant. In fact, if you look at the final settlements was up in the trillions with the cut from multipliers, Connecticut Unfair Trade Practices Act, there's no way he's going to pay that off. So it's not about how much money he has. This is not what they did. They did it create a media narrative to have people afraid to talk about this, lest they be sued into bankruptcy and law firm. That's why they did it. And it's all about fear. Instilling fear in the populace. That's how you control people. That's what this is about. So, and Alice Jones, let me say, first of all, you have to prove malice. That has proof of malice. That's your very first thing you have to prove in a damage case. Well, Dave Bedondi going to Trinity Street in Hartford April 24th, and McKnight following up, and Alice Jones talking to Wolfgang. There's no malice there. That's just called investigating reporting. And we have experts like Jim and Wolfgang, who's, by the way, certified by FEMA, and the Attorney General of New York is a school safety expert, Florida State Trooper, retired school principal, retired customs agent. There's no one more qualified. And so they had to create a false media narrative, arrest a Wolfgang in Florida with a false warrant, bring a lawsuit in Florida, which they eventually dropped upon discovery. Again, that judge was going to allow discovery. What happened? Plaintiff drops the suit. Of course, they don't want discovery. They don't want the truth coming out. So all these tools, every case that's ever been decided has been on summary judgment, either by the false claim.
In fact,
whatever
you want actually, Bill, that's not quite right. That have been done on basis of presupposition, basis of assumption in Alex's case. It wasn't even summary judgment. It was an alleged failure of discovery. Now, no one could even figure out what it was, what failure Alex had for discovery. Mine was a classic summary judgment where the judge in Wisconsin, he's allowed to set aside any evidence he considers to be unreasonable. Well, if you go ahead and assume, if you take for granted, if you presuppose Sandy Hook was real, then I suppose you could think it was unreasonable to deny. But that's ignoring the fact that I wasn't just asserting it had been faked. I was proving it was faked with a mountain of evidence, some of which we're reviewing here, but there's much, much more. And the judge just set it all aside. I know a retired professor of law who said the major problem with American judicial system is abuse of summary judgment. You could not have a more clear-cut case than mine.
Right, that's true. My understanding, I could be corrected, is that Alex Jones went to default on default summary judgment. Default being he didn't supposedly comply with subpoena.
Right.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, when people don't comply with subpoena, then the normal course of events is not to go to a default judgment, but for the plaintiff counsel to motion the court, objection motion for a contempt, that the non-production of documents. And usually then the person is sued X amount of dollars till they comply. So again, this is anomalies, anomaly after anomaly, because of course it's all orchestrated. It's none of it's legit. And not to mention one more thing in chain of liability. If you're Alex Jones or any actor, entertainer, reporter reporting on an FBI crime table 8, 2012 for Newtown Sandy Hook, that cites zero murders, you're not liable for anything. Even if people did die, you're not liable because you're accurately citing a crime table, which is supposed to be amended every quarter, which still hasn't been changed. And we'll get to that. So where's the liability? In what world, Jim? In what clown world? It's all false. It's kabuki theater. Can you imagine accurately citing an FBI crime table and being held liable? It's preposterous.
And that was included in my original submission to the court when I gave the... Yeah. My answer to the complaint, which was itself a legal absurdity because it attached a complete death certificate and claimed it was not materially different from the incomplete death certificate, the one that I had published and commented upon. So in essence, I was found guilty over a document I'd never seen, not published, or even commented upon. I mean, we'll be right back with more about Sandy Hook.
Yeah. Well,
was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out "And Nobody Died in Boston Either." Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
If you think for 1 second that the Capitol will ever treat us fairly, you are lying to yourselves. Because we know who they are and what they do. This is what they do, and we must fight back. You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. The time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence. at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Not giving up. Revolution Radio.
It is no secret that the so-called mainstream media is best described as controlled propaganda. Countless news stories are either totally ignored or spun with half-truths, and because of this, essential facts and vital information are often compromised. Join Dr. Ott every Friday night on Studio B at 10 p.m. Eastern and learn why The Story Behind the Story was nominated for a Peabody Award in its second year of producing unparalleled broadcasting excellence in 1997. That is, if you really care about learning the truth.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, Bill Bonatotti is a former NFL player. He was captain of a couple NFL football teams. He's, as you can tell, super cerebral, very smart guy, and he has a lot of hands-on experience in the courts, where when Bill gets involved, he wins. I mean, I was really a fish out of water in court. I couldn't find an attorney to represent me. I did get informal assistance, but I mean, in the courtroom, I was at a loss, not knowing when to object and about motions for, motions to, and I think it cost me greatly. But the fact of the matter is, the situation was so stacked. Everyone who's ever looked at the case said that it would have been impossible to prevail. I mean, not only was there the absurd complaint, falsely asserting that a complete death certificate was not materially different from the death certificate I'd published, when material differences are ones that make a difference in the eyes of the law, and obviously having a file number, stamp certification, state certification are all material differences. So it was absurd. And yet, during the very first scheduling conference, the court, the judge in this case, was complimenting the plaintiff on a well-crafted complaint when, in fact, it was ridiculous. It was just ridiculous, indefensible. There's no possible way it ought to have been taken seriously. And then, since I'd answered under the presumption that this would be a very desirable thing to get all the evidence I'd accumulated and published in the book into the public domain by way of the judicial process, he then, during the scheduling conference, ruled that he wasn't going to allow any of that, that it, whether Sandy Hook happened or was real, did not matter, he said, to the truth or the authenticity of the death certificate. Even though it says right on the death certificate the decedent died at Sandy Hook on 14 December 2012 of multiple gunshot wounds, how can all the evidence showing it was a FEMA drill where nobody died not be relevant to a death certificate claiming someone had died there? I mean, that's not just a legal absurdity. That's a logical absurdity. Your thoughts?
Well, clearly that's Let me say, Jim, that's why they went to summary judgment, because they could not allow the evidence brought forward because it's so clear beyond a reasonable doubt that it's a FEMA drill. So this is why they railroaded you. That's, you know, what we saw with James Tracy, that's another matter where, you know, as a professor, him making public statements as a professor is not reason to fire him any way, shape or form. The judge even ruled it wasn't the statements that was of issue, but he didn't sign a permission slip. What's a freaking 4-year-old has to go to the bathroom or something? I mean, it's ridiculous that went that way. So in your case, yeah, the evidence is there. It's overwhelming. Getting it before the court, what they do is they have administrative judges that deny cases. So you don't sometimes get your case before the court. And then if you do, you have the summary judgment rabbit hole. There is no justice in this system. And there's one of the goats was Ustaz Mullins, World War II veteran, Air Force, best of my recollection, who served in World War II, who did a video, you can find, The Rape of Justice. He said, I never won a lawsuit, but I filed it just to make points. They all either went to summary judgment, or if he did win, he wasn't able to collect from the feds. So I do want to clarify something real quick, Jim. I got signed by the Patriots. Ray Berry was the head coach. I saw that letter where he's acknowledging what I did there and thanking me. I did get cut. One of the last cuts with that. I was never a captain in the NFL. I was captain high school. I was team captain for a game in college. I started and worked my way up that way. So I did get signed also by the Rough Riders and the CFL, but did not have any long career. I just, you know, when two people talk, I'm thinking one thing, I'm saying Jim's hearing it, and I just want to clear that up.
Sure.
I need both hips replaced, a back surgery. Friends of mine, multiple of them have had joint replacements, and unfortunately over a dozen have died. So let me just say, I should listen to Grandma Jean and play piano.
Well, you are, are honest to the bone, Bill, and that's one of the reasons I hold you in such high esteem. And you've shown yourself so adept at sorting out, cutting through the smoke and mirrors and all that judicial flim-flam. You're an a slicer and dicer of flim-flam. And I love it, Bill. I love it. And your successes, of course, have been just the opposite of what I've endured, because I've gone all the way to the United States Supreme Court with what I thought was a slam dunk. And they wouldn't even hear it, Bill. They wouldn't even hear it. Now, the participants in the drill with whom I've been in contact, and I'm about to review the bidding on them here with you. We're kind of doing a slow motion review of evidence about Sandy Hook that those who really haven't figured it out, I think, should appreciate immensely, because it's going to leave no doubt in their mind. The participant in the drill told me all my cases, all the legal cases involving Sandy Hook, had predetermined conclusions. And that included Remington and, of course, the cases against Alex Jones as well as mine. And then, no doubt, Wolfgang, too. James Tracy was handled purely within the university framework. But, you know, after 35 years in higher education, I never heard of anyone being reprimanded, much less fired, for not signing a form. I mean, it was absurd, Bill, just absurd what happened to James Tracy.
Yeah, well, the whole idea is to smear the truthers like you and him and discredit. And so this is what they do. And that way they can maintain their false narrative. As long as most of the people are buying it. But that's because most people are watching media that isn't telling the truth. Even the YouTubers are, I don't know anybody really. I shouldn't say that. Very few people are of the caliber and camp with you and all your great team of guys. Of course, there were quite a few, but I don't know what action that Lenny Pazzo used to take down websites, Jim. But clearly, and when there is a scene in this HBO piece where we saw, and you pulled it up and showed it, where or Lenny's at the computers talking about getting sites taken down. And in that is indictful information. That's where we saw it. We couldn't believe it, where the parents are standing around lounging at Sandy Hook, and there's a chain of rearranging two photos. And then there's this front shot of school crime tape up. No window shut out. How did crime tape get up? There's no window shut out. That's just happens after the crime tape. So this is a Smith Modernization Act, full on assault to bury the truth and use the courts to do it, and then the media. And Alex Jones is really playing into this now, where it's very difficult for people to even begin to try and even want to unpack it. So all they hear was Alex Jones did this. There's this whole idea that then he was malicious in his actions and he deserves these type of, first of all, let me say, there's no guilt in civil. You're either found liable for damages or you're not. Guilt is limited to criminal. But it's just kind of an unconscious thing we do or brought up that someone was found guilty in civil. The only time you can be held accountable in civil is on a quasi-criminal charge of contempt. If you violate the subpoena, and that happened to Steve Dozinger in the Dozinger case, Ecuadorian rainforest, and that went to collection. That only happened in the collection phase. He prevailed in the Ecuadorian courts, even the appellates, to win $9.6 billion for the victims of Chevron pump and dump procedures. But then upon collection, the judge sustained a motion on an overreaching subpoena that Dozinger would not comply with because he was protecting his clients. He has confidentiality clauses, wouldn't turn over his cell and his laptop. For that, he spent 900 some odd days in house arrest and then a period of time in prison without a trial. The judge found him guilty. That's a quasi-criminal charge of contempt. That's the only time it becomes criminal. So even I heard you earlier said you were found guilty. It's just the way we're brought up. No, you were falsely held liable. You see, Jim?
Yeah. No, Bill, this is wonderful. Listen, this is wonderful. And I think a lot of people who've heard me talk about this case before are overjoyed to have someone else who understands the case commenting on it, because between our two perspectives, they get what's going on. Now, I've shown you one of the most photogenic of all the kids, Noah Posner, actually is alive and well, right? So you can draw your own inferences about the state of my case, having been sued for alleging that a death certificate for this little boy was fake. And by the way, I was supported by two forensic document experts who reviewed. There had been, at this point, four different death certificates, four different versions of the death certificate. You'd think that in and of itself would raise a presumption something's wrong. But the court just set them aside as unhelpful. That was the word he used, unhelpful. But as you know, Bill, I mean, in courts of law, the way the authenticity of documents is ascertained is by means of forensic document experts. And I had not one, I had two. They had no document expert on their side to affirm that, in fact, it was genuine. And I'm, you know, I'm inhibited by the court from making the obvious observation.
Yeah, that's called, when they go to summary judgment, Jim, that's actually called the Civil Rights Death Penalty Clause. What that means is your civil rights are taken away from you to make any affirmative defense. And that's what they did. And that's what they did on the fault judgment on Alex Jones, which was all orchestrated, I contend. And then, of course, you saw all the emotional. That's the only thing. Now, plaintiff can make their arguments, call witnesses. Defense counsel can question those witnesses. But that's it. The defense counsel can make no affirmative defense. Alex Jones was not allowed to testify on the stand on his own behalf in an affirmative way. Even though the odd thing is, if you watch that HBO's flick, you'll see that supposedly the plaintiff's counsel said we want to give him a chance. I've never heard anything. You go to the default summary judgment and you put the guy in the stand and then give him a chance to do what? Anytime he tried to say anything, they shot it down. This is all, you got TV cameras around. How many TV cameras? It's all even Robert Barnes, who talked about all the anomalies of the civil. Very disappointing he didn't get into the FOIAs and the real evidence, but anyway, he showed all the anomalies in the civil, saying this looked like a movie production, which is what it was, and it geared to be. And look what we saw. We saw the documentary, I shouldn't call it a documentary, the propaganda rag come out. And so they're clearly the agenda. They're pushing the gun grab roadshow, restriction of freedom of speech. Self-censorship due to fear of being law-feared. And then you have the, when you do get to court, you get railroaded, basically. And I could talk a lot more about my cases where I experienced documents altered, transcripts altered, even after people testified to the documents. It's amazing what I've seen in the courts. And, of course, that's for future discussions.
Bill, those are wonderful points. Yeah, for those who don't realize the enormity of the evidence, I mean, we've shown that Noah Bosner is alive and well and doing stand-up comedy in Cambridge. Well, another, the most photogenic was Emily Parker. Many remember when her erstwhile father, Robbie, came out, and he was all smiling and jocular and talking about when he saw the assembled press. He stopped to hyperventilate to get into character and then began talking about the loss of his daughter, Emily, the day before, but having the presence of mind to mention her donation website. Well, Emily actually was there. Here you see her in this pink shirt. She was there in the crowd on that day. She was involuntarily introduced into the scene by her mother, who wanted her to have a role. She was actually 9 years old at the time, not six, and her real name is Margaret Alice Cottle. And here you see a Parker grave next to a Cottle grave. I believe this is in Utah. Here she is today, looking pretty chipper for a girl who's supposed to have died when she was in the first grade. I mean, it's just shocking. In addition, we have then Victoria Soto, who was a teacher who was supposed to have heroically lost her life at Sandy Hook protecting her kids. Her real name is Victoria Aurelio. She's actually the daughter of the town clerk for Newtown, Debbie Aurelio. And it turns out she reprised her role at Uvalde, playing Eva Morales. Steve, Bill, you'll find this interesting. Here she is, by the way, earning degrees. She's just a super gal. Here's another. This is in 2017. She earned a degree in special ed from the New York School of Career and Applied Studies under the name Victoria Soto. Under the name of Victoria Soto, Bill. I mean, how fantastic is that? Here's another one now. We're talking about a man by the name of Richmond who's purported to have committed suicide. I don't believe it for a moment. His daughter is supposed to be Avril Richmond. Her real name is Lenny Urbina. I mean, this is amazing. And she appears to have sang at the Super Bowl. Get this, here's a story about it, taking a lot of precautions not to be censored.
Because of the chicken with its head cut off style censorship that's going on, I'm not making any claims in this video. And I'll throw out some dots, but I can't guarantee or even make the claim that any of those dots connect or have anything remotely to do with each other. If you enjoy these videos, subscribe to the channel, hit the bell notification icon, give it a thumbs up, share it with everybody you know, and remember, because of rampant censorship, I've had to start up a private email list. If you want to get on that, go to highimpactflix.com. That link is in the description. Here is the video. Now, keep in mind, the reason I'm saying things like I am in this video is because of the unbridled censorship that we see in today's mainstream media and social media. So the father of this particular place, which is found somewhere along the eastern seaboard, whose daughter was and if you want to see what she looks like, sorry, that was the wrong video. This is a video from Super Bowl 47, which took place on this date right here. So this right here, let's back this up. So this person right here, her, that couldn't possibly be her, because she was supposed to have been of this right here, which is in that eastern seaboard state that we really can't mention lest we tip off some algorithm somewhere. But anyway, he was found dead of an apparent, well, this right here. And we know this couldn't be this right here. See that little thing right there? This couldn't be her because, like I said, the date of Super Bowl 47 was February 3rd, and this incident right here allegedly took place on this date right here, which is actually 51 days before this date right here, where this person right here that kind of looks like that person right there appeared. But we know this isn't this person right here. I mean, so what we got here is the dad who committed that, along with his daughter named that, and this is that person that appeared 51 days after this event right here allegedly took place. But I don't know. You know, there's a lot of dots, no connections, absolutely no connections, and whatever might appear to be reality is certainly has to be just coincidence. If you guys enjoy these videos, subscribe to the channel, hit the bell notification icon, give it a thumbs up, share it with everybody you know so that you can tune in to more episodes where I make absolutely no correlation and make absolutely no sense whatsoever. You guys have a great day. If you guys enjoy these videos, be sure to subscribe to the channel, hit the bell notification icon, give it a thumbs up, and share it with everybody you know. Also, because of the chicken with its head cut off style censorship that...
Bill, I thought because the guy did such a great job, I'd leave in that little pitch. But, I mean, I'm telling you, it's just stunning. I mean, there we have proof of four of the kids who were supposed to have died at Sandy Hook being alive and well. I mean, how much evidence does it take for somebody to figure out this was a scam?
Well, the problem is most people aren't hearing it. I think anyone who takes the time to hear and listen, it's self-evident. I want to mention Wolfgang did subpoena Kevin, Kevin Alexander, I think his name was, yeah. And he was head of the school board. And he violated subpoena first hearing, did show up the second hearing, unlike Kathy Gamas of Chaco School, where the kids were, who never showed up, and thanks to Sonny Maynard for flushing that out in Wolf. And then Keith Anzalotti never showed up, who was head of the custodial team for Sandy Hook.
Well, Bill, so, let me get forward. Oh, by the way, this is in addition. Wayne Carver is supposed to be deceased. Turns up at Robb Elementary in Newtown, in Texas. Get this little video. I just want to toss it in, then we'll get back to the points you're making.
Healing will take place. It's just going to take a while.
But the healing will take place. It's just going to take a while.
Did it stick? Oh, yeah. Okay.
But,
I mean, it's unbelievable. And, Bill, we're going to turn to a whole bunch of the points you've been making. Get this. Here's a sign, Sandy Hook School. I learned from Margaret and from Victoria, especially by way of Steve Lucia, who's their friend, who may be the most knowledgeable figure about Sandy Hook, knowing everybody, that it wasn't even an elementary school. It was a special needs school. It wasn't even an elementary school. And you and I were talking about how there were no handicapped parking zones there. I checked the law at the time. This school, having none of the familiar blue and white signage, blue and white parking areas designate, could not have been legally operating as an elementary school, as a public school in Connecticut in 2012. Notice, too, the parking instruction. If you come in, you turn right, then you'd curl around and you'd park facing away from the school. But those two center rows of vehicles are all parked facing the school. It appears it was simply simpler, easier to bring them all in a single line and put them in two by two by two. After all, who was even going to notice, Bill? They were simply props in a production compliments of FEMA and Department of Homeland Security. And while it was a 38-degree Fahrenheit day, cold enough, you couldn't conduct classes without heating the school. There's no steam or heat rising from the school, no doubt because the boilers were dysfunctional from non-use. Well, it turns out that, while I and my colleagues in the book, Nobody Died at Sandy Hook, had concluded it had been closed by 2008. That was correct. It was actually closed in 2006 when Eric Holder came down and offered the community $114 million to participate in the drill. And those who in the community who didn't want to participate, Bill, they moved out of Newtown. They left Sandy Hook. Those who remained got lots of fringe benefits. They don't pay any taxes. They get free college. There were auditions. They signed non-disclosure agreements. And, of course, they made money hand over fist. Look at this thing with Alex Jones, Bill. The trials led to judgments of close to $1 billion against Alex Jones for simply expressing the opinion that Sandy Hook had been staged. Can you believe? And here, of course, is a consolidated crime report for 2012 showing murder and non-negligent manslaughter for Newtown, of which Sandy was a part zero. We'll be back after this break.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Revolution Radio, every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time. on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job, that Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes? That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Bill, go ahead, comment. Here's the FBI Consolidated Crime Report. You are making many points in relation to its accumulation of data about crime showing zero murders in Newtown, which means zero murders in Sandy Hook for 2012, which means nobody died at Sandy Hook.
Absolutely. And now I heard pushback when I used to host a call-in room. That app, and people say, well, the FBI is incompetent, or, you know, the state police didn't properly report it to the FBI. The FBI was there on the day. Homeland Security was there. We know that from Everyone Must Check Inside and Patricia DeLoggio's testimony. Homeland Security dropped it. DHS dropped it. And that came out in a FOIA hearing. But the sign-in roster somehow went with the stateies, and 2.5 years later, no one's making an interstate to Newtown, to FBI reports where they're, you know, not sharing documents, supposedly, because she didn't know what happened to it. I mean, Jim, this is one light of bullshit after another. I want to say one more thing on that. If let's play devil's advocate for a moment. Let's say it happened. Well, then who would be being sued? You'd see the Homeland Security. You'd see the Department of Justice being sued for citing zero murders. It's updated every quarter. They've never changed it. Not some blowhard entertainer citing it correctly. It's the whole thing is just a total farce. What else can you say about it? And of course, there are no lawsuits. Like Wolfgang said, you look at who was sued and who wasn't, and it tells a lot. That's clearly indicative.
Yeah, Tucker made that point. He said, it's the truth tellers who are being punished in American society today, not the criminals. And in this case, it's those who are pointing out that it was a fraud, that it was a FEMA drill who've been subjected to the lawsuits, not the perps who are making out like bandits. I mean, look, you got 26 families feigning to have lost kids at Sandy Hook or loved ones, teachers. They received between $27 and $130 million in donations. That's between $1 and $5 million per family for pretending to have lost a child or a relative at Sandy Hook, Bill. And then, of course, the school board got a grant of $50 million to create a new elementary school where the average cost around the country, I checked at the time, was only $7 million. So they got seven times $7 million to build this. I said at the time, what is this to be, the Taj Mahal of elementary schools? And I think that's what it looks like. It's a monstrosity. I mean, unbelievable, Bill. So you're making a lot of great points. But it's and then doing this movie. This movie is milking for more money. I mean, Those, by the way, the participants I know reached out to me who were upset because I'd been abused by the legal system. And by the way, they told me everyone in the community who participated in the drill had read the book, that they really like the book because the book is honest. They like the book. They didn't like that I was being abused by the judicial system. They have not participated in these new lawsuits to milk more money out of the system. They have stood aside. They're not involved. It's, I mean, what kind of chutzpah does it take, Bill, to lay out a completely phony story to milk more money from the public or innocent victims that they're using, you know, as subjects of exploitation?
Well, you make a point. It was only 9 co-plaintiffs, not 26. If there were 26 deaths, you'd think you'd have 26 co-plaintiffs. But in the Alice Jones, whatever, Kabuki Theater, from what I understand, there was 9. So that, there you go. A lot of them didn't want to keep participating. Now, they're probably paid a salary, and the rest of the money is going into some slush fund for God knows what back to the government. Whether they're getting $200,000 apiece for each appearance on a, I don't know the arrangements they made. We'll never know unless one of them comes forward. But I did want to mention real quick before we caught the break, Kevin Alexander, head of the school board, didn't show up with the documents that were FOIA'd.
Bill, let me get there. You got photographs from the FOIA hearings that Wolfgang brought. Not only do we have the FBI Consolidated Crime Report for 2012, we have the FEMA drill. I included it in the book. It shows the exercise, really the rehearsal, be conducted on the 13th, beginning at 8 a.m., that it'll end at 11:59 on the 13th, and then be evaluated on the 14th as a real-time event, meaning on the 14th they were going to present it as a real event. Margaret, who's very, very clever, discovered that actually at the Connecticut FEMA site, they still had the schedule up showing the exercise L-366, planning for the needs of children, beginning 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. on the 12-14-2012. This is in Bridgeport. They even gave a map to how you could get from Bridgeport down to Dickinson Drive where the event would take place. I put all this in my evidence to the Supreme Court. Would you believe? Now, Bill, you've sent me a number of little, you know, tweets, wonderful stuff. This is one about the parking lot, and you're verifying about the fact that legally they had to have those parking spaces. Here you have more about it. We can return to it, but this is where you wanted to get. Tell us about it. These are Wolfgang Halbig's FOIA hearings. This is one on April 24, 2015. Yours.
I believe that's right there. That's Gino Fido. I think I'm pronouncing it correctly. He was, his exact title, he had to do with maintenance in the school system. I forget the exact title, for overreaching for Newtown. He did come. And Wolfgang was trying to get records regarding maintenance. If the school was open, there'd be maintenance records. There'd be call for work orders and then sign-offs by the people who completed them. And Gino basically didn't come with any documentation of any evidence of any maintenance. He said they checked their database. And but Wolf, being a school principal, knows that there has to be work orders. And usually they're signed off once they're done. Gino tried to say the completion was always verbal. Maybe, maybe not. We don't really know. But the bottom line is, how about the work orders? Who supposedly Don Hochsprung was one of the assistant principals who was killed. And there would be, that's what Wolf was trying to get, the email. So that's that particular one, but I can't read the writing, what I wrote it. I think I was citing a Latin legal maxim, omnia pros amateur contra spur litorum. All things can be charged against those who hide and destroy the truth. So that's the point I was trying to make in some of what I wrote there. And I think I get into specifically what happened in that photo. I have to go to it in my photos to see exactly what I wrote.
I can read it. All things can be charged against those who hide and destroy the truth. Trauma-based mind control, mass formation, psychosis, ideological subversion, new world order, communism, you will own nothing and have no privacy and be happy. Italiano Clydesdale, which is your handle. Gino Field, director, school facilities, no maintenance records. Maybe, just maybe, because the school was closed and... the period 2006 or 2008, you think? See previous corroborating videos, photos, record post, FEMA, Capstone Integrated, L-366, training event, an hour, 34 minutes in.
Yeah, well, that's my X account, which I have. I'm down to 71 followers from 75, 76, because I also cover other issues that people find very difficult to talk about regarding, I don't know if I should mention or not in this podcast, but you know where I'm going with that, Jim.
So well, here you have another Sandy Hook, Sandy Cat parking spaces in violation of Connecticut 2004 American for Disability Act, school mothballed, FEMA Capstone Integrated Region 1, L-366 training event, 2012 FBI, Connecticut crime table, 8, 0 murders, non-negligent manslaughters, see corroborate posts, video photos, articles for freedom of speech. Here's another. Kevin Anderson, number 1, school board fails to produce consent permission documents for students attending the Super Bowl. Kathy Gamehost, Chalk Hill school principal, and Keith Anzalotti, Sandy Hook Elementary School number 1 custodian, violated subpoenas, never appeared. Acting judge claims he has no jurisdiction to enforce. God. Go ahead. And then we got a doozy about how much money these crisis actors got paid off.
Right. Well, for anyone who doesn't know, there's Wolfgang sitting there in the center of the photo. Kay Wilson's to his left. That's his attorney. Then you have Monty Frank, or anyone being cross-examined, sitting next to Monty Frank, the city attorney from Cohen and Wolf. And this is just how it went for Wolfgang and Kay. Now, it's a commissioner of the FOIA that sits the hearing. I say he acts as a judge, and he swears people in. Well, I contend, should I mention I talked to Kay?
Sure.
About hearing my cases. We
covered
this last time. We covered things last time. And basically, Kay was interested in handling my cases for various reasons. She would have taken a lot of big fish. She's a small law firm in Glastonbury. Well, what happened here was when it came out in the hearing that DHS dropped the sign, everyone wants to check in, and that is Patricia Lillijo's testimony in the June 3rd, 2015 FOIA hearing after Chief Cahill steps back off, and then that's around 2 hours and 15 minutes on. Kay kind of got flustered, obviously. Now she realized she's taking on Homeland Security and didn't follow up with any questions other than who dropped, where's the signing roster? But there was a lot more that could and should have been asked regarding that matter. But Patricia Lillijo claimed that she didn't have the signing list. She wasn't sure other than Homeland Security dropped the sign. Well, that makes it a Homeland Security op. And for anyone who doesn't know, Jim, we know this, people in law enforcement, first responders, be they police officers, EMT, firemen, guess what? They're dispatched. They don't sign in when they get there. So who's signing in and to what? You see, everything's congruent with a FEMA capstone event integrated with L-366. And nothing at all with a real-life shooting. Over and over and over again, we're seeing this. And thank you for correcting me. It was Kevin. And I said Alexander's Anderson. It's hard to keep all the names straight. I do okay. It's a lot here.
Well, Bill.
Jim, you want to read this one?
Bill, here. Yeah, sure. I already did. Okay. Kevin Anderson, okay. Number 1 school board, fails to produce consent permission documents for students attending Super Bowl. Kathy Gamos, right. Chalk Hill school principal, and Keith Angelotti, San Diego Elementary School number 1 custodian, violated subpoenas, never appeared. Acting judge claimed he has no jurisdiction to enforce. But look at this, Bill. Look at this, the payoff. Jones ordered to pay Robert Parker, that's Robbie Parker, $120 million. William Sherlock, $36 million. David Wheeler, 55. Francine Wheeler, 54. Jacqueline Barton, 28.8. Mark Barton, 57.6. Nicole Hockley, 73.6. Ian Hockley, 81.6. Jennifer Hensel, 52 million. Donna Soto, 48 million. Carolee Soto Parisi, 66 million. Carlos Matthew Soto, 57.6. Julian Soto Marino, 68.8. William Aldenberg, 90 million. Erica Laverty, 76. Bill, this is just grotesque. Grotesque.
Yeah, the way they worked away that in Connecticut, they have something called the Connecticut Unfair Trade Practices Act, CUTPA, which is a regulatory body on the state level, like the Federal Trade Commission is on a federal level on business practices. Well, but again, this is all kabuki theater. These are just numbers they're throwing up to intimidate people that you could possibly be sued for these amounts. To put things in perspective, OJ was found liable in civil for the death of Ron Goldman at 33 and a third, where he allegedly stabbed him 60 times. He was found liable for that. On a technicality or mishandling by the prosecutors, was he not found guilty and criminal? So think about that. You have, let's tell you what though, Jim, it gives you good equivalencies to make your arguments in civil, because of course you have to ask for what you're looking for in your civil case. Well, hey, let's, if the alleged FBI agent who was never had anyone arrested for harassing or threatening him got 90 mil, right? If Bill Aldenberg gets 90 mil, then you guys should be entitled to that and more, because it destroys your families and your harmony and your reputation. Wolf lost his retirement business as a school safety consultant, school expert, not to mention his reputation and the discord caused in the family. Another thing is, no one was ever arrested at any reported parent's house for allegedly that would be trespassing, harassment, trespassing, breach of peace. No one was ever arrested for that. But yet in their emotional damage claim, they talk about how this happened to such a degree they're all driven out of the state. Well, real quick, the town of Newtown is 27,000-28,000 people in that range. You got the Newtown police and the state police. The alleged families were each assigned a state trooper. They got surveillance. They should have cameras, electronic surveillance, also obviously cruiser surveillance, and zero arrests for anyone going there. The only arrest I'm familiar with was Wolfgang illegally arrested on a false warrant in Florida, where he wasn't doxing anybody. That was totally false. And then dismissed. Let's say another thing. I have four arrests. We're all innocent until proven guilty. Just the fact someone's arrested doesn't make a case. And then you have that other woman, Jim, was Lucy was her last name, in a wheelchair in Florida, who had some electronic communication of some kind.
Well, yeah, yes, she was on Lucy Richards. Lucy. Go ahead. Lucy Richards, yeah. And they tried to tie that into me and my trial for damages. I mean, they made it up. It was just ridiculous. Such bullshit.
Yeah, well, that's interesting, because they also claim, see, now, if you're going to claim damages, you have to be specific, and there has to be specificity to cause and effect. So how is it, wait a minute, she testified, or she said, I should say, that there were multiple people she was listening to. I wasn't clear where or who, but I assume whoever was on the airwaves at the time, perhaps James Tracy, AJ, yourself, Wolf. Well, wait a minute. So if you got four different parties, who's specific? Number one. Number two, okay, let's just play devil's advocate. Then how is Wolf, how is AJ, not that I'm an AJ fan, how is he held liable when it's non-specific to any one party? Her own claim that why she did what she did, which is why she got allegedly arrested. I don't know if she was ever convicted. And then you also have the parents using that as a cause to claim emotional duress. And it does, none of it makes any sense, Jim. And also you have the FBI agent, Aldenberg. People were calling him, mocking him, because of course, if it was him, which we know it wasn't, it was David Wheeler. There's no FBI agent that would ever, SWAT team, carry a rifle loaded upside down by the magazine, pointing backwards at a crime scene where he could blow off somebody's kneecaps if the gun dropped. The magazine, it comes off easily. That's, it's a clip. But no, it's just
Nobody would carry a gun that way. So that's, people were taunting Aldenberg because he is supposedly him. Yet there was no arrest for anyone allegedly harassing or threatening him by the FBI. Yet 90 mil. You see, this is all to throw a huge cloud of smoke up, you know, and, you know, actually, you know, Alex Jones' viewership went up throughout all this quite a bit. And of course, he's pleading to his base to buy supplements from him so that way he can help pay the legal fees, et cetera, et cetera. This all seems like a huge Ponzi scheme, racketeering act to me, for people to profiteer. And,
yeah, here's another one of your tweets. Sandy hoax, gun grab, roadshow, oppression, freedom of speech, civil right, due process, New World Order, misinformation, disinformation, malinformation, mass trauma-based mind control, ideological subversion. You will own nothing, have no privacy, and be happy eating bugs in a pincushion. Rise up, say no.
Right, be a pincushion. Keep, now you're on your ninth booster. I don't know. I've never gotten one of those. But the hijack your immune system, that's all part of control, the whole network of control. That's a whole other discussion. But that particular one thing to point out, that breaks down the Pew Research report, that last tweet. And for people who have relatives who really don't want to watch a full-length video or have short attention span on this because they feel it happened, they don't want to hear it, those tweets they can pull off my site, take a screenshot, whatever, and show them. Dude, it's pretty. You got the photos, you've got the tie-in with the body of the text to the photos, and you may start to get a little, you know, it's tough for people to break through that cognitive dissonance, the brainwashing. But over time, you know, what did Gandhi say? First they'll laugh at you. Wait a minute, there's three phases. First they laugh at you, then they persecute you, then they change. So it's going to take a process, Jim. Go ahead.
No, Bill, I'm just delighted. I think you're doing a phenomenal job of putting up all those tweets. And I'm just very glad we're doing this series. I think today was very beneficial for those who haven't yet quite put it together, because we really did go in slow motion with proof after proof after proof. I'd say there are 10 or 12 proofs here that Sandy Hook was fraudulent, just 10 or 12 that each of them individually, including for four of the alleged victims, Noah Posner, Emily Parker, Victoria Soto, Avril Richmond. They're all alive and well. I mean, how much proof do you need? You got the consolidated FBI crime report. Zero deaths in Newtown for 2012. You got the staged photograph taken by Shannon Hicks where they rearrange the kids to get a better shot. I mean, you got the broken window, the shot-out window with the furniture not rearranged. You got the parking lot with no, not compliant with American for Disability. I mean, it goes on and on, Bill. I mean, I would like to believe if they only watched just this one show, they would understand how elaborate it was. And remember, we even have the Sandy Hook manual for the event. We even have the event on the schedule for FEMA. We even have the map they sent as to how to get to the school. Bill, what more could one ask? I'm telling you.
Well, thanks to your good work and everybody that we've mentioned to this point, that's true. Now, Jim, you might want to mention to recommend finding your and X and finding that tweet that you're asking people to retweet. So we can kind of get a movement in Twitter.
Oh, yeah, 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 people. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Thank you, thank you. I hadn't got there yet. But, yeah, I'm asking that either Alex Jones invite me onto InfoWars or Elon Musk host a debate between me and Alex Jones, or Jimmy Dore, who allowed Alex onto his show where he smeared me and James Tracy and Wolfgang Halberg. Someone out there has to have the journalistic integrity to set this right. The evidence is overwhelming, and I'm encouraging everyone, follow it up. If you're on Twitter, just retweet one of those tweets that I sent to Elon Musk and Vivek Ramaswamy and Tom Fitton and Marjorie Taylor Greene and Jim Jordan and Matt Gaetz. Retweet it. We deserve to have the truth. And Wolfgang and James Tracy and I have been smeared. Just ask for the opportunity for me to respond when they have allowed this smear to take place. Bill, I don't think that's asking too much.
Oh, no. I know. In fact, I've done that. I also, Tucker, so let me run through. Tucker, Jimmy Dore, Elon, and then all the South Senators and reps you talked about. Weaver Frey, who hosts Robert Barnes, who covered this and totally missed it. I mean, how they missed everything prior to the civil proceedings, I have no idea. The Beaver's a retired lawyer. Barnes is an active attorney, and they were consulting Alice Jones' team, which gives rise to question whether or not, I don't know. I don't
everything,
make accusations,
but everything even there was on the up and up. Yeah. Why? Why, if they're honest brokers, would they not want to have a rebuttal when we're talking about these enormous sums about perhaps the most controversial event in the history of the United States, save the assassination of JFK? I mean, give me a break. This is so obvious. Journalistic integrity demands it. I don't think it should be optional for any of them. Not for Alex, not for Elon, not for Jimmy, not for Barnes, not for Viva. I mean, give me a break. Get me on the air so I can lay out the facts for the benefit of the American people.
Well, I agree. That would be the only right thing to do. But if they are, they're all in touch with one another. They know one another. We know Tucker is good friends with AJ. They go fishing together. AJ's been on Jimmy's show. Jimmy goes to Rogue. And, you know, it's kind of like a family of people there. It's a small clique. And who's going to break ranks? Because doing so would really expose Alex Jones. And so
I'm sorry.
The right thing to do.
I'm sorry he put himself in that predicament. It was absurd. Here's something to think about. Alex Jones claims he was misled by professors and school safety expert, but he also claims he never read the book. Well, if he never read the book, how can we have misled him? Ask yourself. Alex, he never read the book. But he also thinks we misled him. Meanwhile, spend as much time as you can with your family, your friends, and people you love and care about, because we do not know how much time we have left. And a point.
Revolution Radio.
Recording stop.
Join me and the Brian Ruse Show on Revolution Radio, Eastern Standard Time, every Tuesday night from 6 to 8. We talk about the four most vital things, in my view, affecting all of humanity. Number one is UFOs and aliens and their agenda for the advancement of humanity. Number two is the Jewish establishment's control over all aspects of human civilization. Number three, the truth about Adolf Hitler, how he was the opposite of what we've been told. Number four is advanced ancient global civilizations. Join me on the Brian Ruse Show, Tuesday nights from 6 to 8 on Studio B on Revolution Radio.
Industrial Complex podcast here on Revolution Radio, Studio B, every Wednesday, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Get fit, empowered, physically, mentally, and spiritually.
Hello,
my name is Mr. Rowe. I am the host of Reality Extraction, Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. I utilize logic, intellect, and magic to methodically autonomize, vivisect, analyze, examine, study, scrutinize, and extract an essence of reality from a fog of illusion and confusion.